Good evening, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome back to your Paul Revere show, folks. We're here every Monday night on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Civic Media's great show out of Waukesha to the state, folks. Your Paul Revere show is dedicated to the proposition of moving Wisconsin forward. We like to stay on the cutting edge, and I am delighted to have back with us tonight Jay Heck from Common Cause. Welcome back, Jay.
Great to be with you, Mark, and particularly nice to be with you the day after such a surprising but terrific Packer victory, huh?
I guess I should have taken that thunder away from you, but yes, last night was quite the remarkable feat when the Chiefs and the Swifties showed up and found out what Green Bay Packer football was at Lambeau. And thanks for reminding me, Jay. But yes, it was a wonderful, wonderful evening last night for everybody who is in love with the Packer football. But, you know, before we jump into things, Jay, I always like to remind my listeners, you know, what is Common Cause? What's its mission? You know, how'd you get involved? Just an overview before we start talking about what it means to Wisconsin.
Well, Mark, thank you again for having me. It's an honor to be with you, and thank you for your great service for the entire duration of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which, as we'll discuss, is headed into some even choppier waters, possibly, in the weeks and months ahead. Common Cause is a nonpartisan citizens reform organization. We don't endorse candidates for public office. We care about democracy. We care about the ability of people to be able to vote freely. We care about fair elections. We care about corruption in politics. We care about the way legislative districts are drawn so that they reflect the population and the wishes of the voters. In other words, we're what you call, I guess, a public interest good government group. We're the largest such group in Wisconsin. We have about 8,800 activists and members in every county and corner of the state. We have bipartisan chairs of the committee of the Common Cause Wisconsin, former Democratic State Representative Penny Bernard Schaber of Appleton, and former Republican state representative and former Court of Appeals Judge David Deininger of Monroe. A great board and a very, very vigorous membership. And we're here to do battle against those who would try to subvert democracy.
So I had the privilege last time when you were with us, we're talking about the lawsuits that had got filed on the new maps and sort of, you know, what was Common Cause's view of that. And just, I'd like to, you know, I'm assuming you've been watching carefully and that the oral arguments have taken place before the new Supreme Court. What sort of, you know, you talked about maps and the importance of fair maps to Wisconsin. How does Common Cause see the lay of the land now after they watch these oral arguments?
Well, you know, the case before the newly constituted Supreme Court, which as a result of the April election last April, now has a different majority. It has a 4-3 majority that's more favorable to voters and more favorable to getting rid of gerrymandering than the previous court. And so, although it's a narrow majority, 4-3, it does seem poised, I think, to make some changes in the way the legislative districts were finally put into place by the interestingly enough, the conservative majority of the Wisconsin Supreme Court finally in early 2022. And the case is a relatively narrow in scope in the sense that it asserts that the way the districts were drawn, because they're not all continuous or have contiguity, that it's unconstitutional. And then the second thing that it asserts is that the maps that are in place now are unconstitutional because it violates the separation of powers. And that is to say that the governor vetoed the Republican maps 2 years ago, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the conservative majority, instituted the maps that the governor vetoed. And that is a violation of the Wisconsin Constitution. So that's how it's going to be fought. And that's what the oral arguments concentrated on, which were held on November the 21st. But, you know, this is an opportunity, I think, for the court to do something, as Justice Karofsky said, not just to tinker around the edges, but to try to really address the problem. And, of course, the problem is that we're very badly gerrymandered, one of the worst gerrymandered states in the country, certainly the most gerrymandered of Republican states. There are states that gerrymandered pretty badly democratically, too. Illinois is always the classic example, our neighbor to the south. But so that's the lay of the land. What's interesting is that they have to move fairly quickly. Some expect that a decision could come as soon as January. And in any event, it has to be by March 15th that they have a decision, and that the new maps are either in place or being drawn to be put into place. Because, as you know, we have a spring primary in April and a pretty important presidential and congressional and legislative election in Wisconsin in 2024.
So, this notion of contiguity, what is the common causes layperson definition of this issue? And, you know, how does it implicate this issue of whether or not the maps are constitutional, whether it's fair, and how do you get around this biased Republican gerrymander if we're not talking about partisan gerrymandering? I realize I'm the lawyer, but from common cause, how do you take these notions out to the public?
Well, the oral arguments were interesting because the conservatives and the guardians of the status quo assert that this is not a big problem. And so your listeners understand what contiguity means. The Constitution, and it makes sense, says that all legislative districts have to have connection. They have to be all part of one another. They have to touch each other. They have to all be, if not a unit that makes sense, at least be geographically contiguous or connected. And in Wisconsin, there's roughly 40 districts where that isn't the case, where there's these little islands that have been stuck in that the Republicans said, okay, well, that township votes this way, let's put it in this district. And so that's unconstitutional. That needs to be fixed. So the argument for the court is whether they just fix those things, or, as Justice Karofsky said, why not take an opportunity to redraw the maps rather than just tinker around the edges and really make maps that are better for Wisconsin. So that's going to be the argument between the two factions on the court. And Common Cause believes, we like Jill Karofsky's thinking. This is an opportunity to actually be able to at least bring some degree of fairness to these maps. These maps were made even worse in 2022 than they were in 2011, when they were the most partisan maps drawn by any legislature in the country. So we think that the court can use this opportunity. And as you know, being a lawyer, the court can basically do what it wants. I mean, they can. So the question will be whether they'll order maps to be redrawn, whether they'll pick from existing maps. There's plenty of maps out there that could be chosen from. It's going to be interesting to see how they get through this. And as you may know, It was a very, very contentious oral arguments, not so much on the part of the advocates for the lawsuit and the advocates defending it, but between the justices themselves. A great deal of nastiness, and there's no love lost between the personalities on that court. And so my guess is that we'll come out with maps that are certainly fair. I don't know to what degree they're going to be, 50-50. I don't think we're going to get there, but I think there'll be better maps in place for 2024. And this lawsuit is seeking to have all of the legislative districts drawn, not just all 99 assembly districts, which are up every 2 years, but all 33 Senate districts, half of which are up every 4 years. And so the ones that were where people were elected in 2022 would then be up again in 2024 for another election. And that could change the complexion of the Wisconsin legislature to a significant degree.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you what Common Cause's view was on that issue, because, and just to be clear to folks, there are 33 senators, and they're served 4-year terms. And in 2022, senators were elected to run through 2026. And part of the issue is, before the court, what do we do with those folks? Do we cut their term short, make them have new fair maps across the board, and start this process anew? It sounds like Common Cause is advocating for new maps across the board.
Well, I mean, I think that given the fact that the previous majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court selected maps, they disregarded basically at the end of the day, they ignored the governor's veto of the Republican maps, and so cut him out of the process. I think what needs to happen is that the court needs to look at other maps. Now, the fact that the 2022 elections were held under these very skewed previous maps indicates to me that those people, sure, they ought to have to run again.
So Jay Heck, okay. Common Cause. We'll be right back with more from Jay Heck on the maps, on democracy in Wisconsin. This is your Paul Revere Show, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson, WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. And folks, I am delighted to say I have Jay Heck of Common Cause with me tonight. We're talking about the gerrymandered maps, the Supreme Court oral argument, and what Common Cause is looking for coming on the other side. And I know that Jay wanted to just touch base on what the maps meant and the congressional races. What are the implications? So go ahead, Jay.
Well, Mark, what I simply wanted to say is that one of the reasons why I think it makes sense for all of the state Senate districts to be put up again in 2024, even the ones that just happened in 2022, a classic example in the Milwaukee suburbs, there was a very competitive state Senate district, the 8th district, that used to be represented by Alberta Darling. What was the guy's name who left? Anyway, it was a competitive district, Wauwatosa, some other areas, and it was carved up by the Republicans in this last redistricting process so that it wasn't that competitive anymore. And yet last April, in a special election, a Democratic candidate came very, very close to winning it. And had it not been for the case that it had been further gerrymandered by the Republicans, the Democrats would have been able to pick up a seat. Now, I'm not a Democrat. We're not partisans. But it just seemed to me that that was a deliberate attempt to skew the majority even further in favor of one political party. That seems unfair. And that happened in a number of other districts around the state. So I think it makes a certain amount of sense to be able to look at new maps for the entire state and have the elections for all of the state senators and all of the members of the assembly up again in November of 2024.
So I just want to sort of turn the page here. You know, we heard a lot about impeachment from certain Republicans, and, you know, they were threatening to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz before she ever decided a case. We know now that the MAP case was argued. She's on that. We're past December 1, which was a key date for an impeachment, which would have meant if they would have tried to impeach her, you know, Governor Tony Evers then would have been appointing a justice up through 2031. But now they're talking about impeaching, or there's still pressure on Speaker Voss to impeach Megan Wolf, who is the administrator, nonpartisan administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission. What does Common Cause think of all this impeachment talk, and particularly now focused more, it seems, on Megan Wolf, a nonpartisan player, you know, I mean, someone dedicated to the public interest on a nonpartisan basis? You know, Common Cause is the nonpartisan entity. So how do you see that playing out?
Well, Mark, you know, when I moved to Wisconsin in the late 1980s, I worked in the Capitol, and, you know, the state Senate was divided, Republicans, Democrats. But there was always a sense of fairness and adherence to the Constitution and to the truth. And one of the most shocking votes that I have experienced in my 30 years nearly in the Capitol was the vote last year by the state Senate, earlier this year, by the state Senate Republicans to remove Megan Wolf as the administrator for completely false, made-up reasons. And the worst part is they knew it. They knew they didn't have the power to remove her.
They knew there was no vacancy, and that she is in her position within the legal scheme Absolutely. Of things as the nonpartisan administrator of Wisconsin Elections.
Well, and not to mention that she has done an outstanding job and a nonpartisan job. But the point is the fact that the Republican Senate, all 22 of them, and people that know much better, Rob Coles of Green Bay and a number of others that should be ashamed of themselves, they voted for this knowing that it had no law, no basis in law. And they did it simply because there are some crazy people on the far right that make a lot of noise and are determined to remove Megan Wolf and are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars running negative ads now in that regard. But it was shameful that the Senate didn't stand up to those people and say, we can't, first of all, we can't. And second of all, we shouldn't. And let me just add this. You know, Megan Wolf, she is courageous and brave to the extent that I have almost greater extent that I have seen almost anybody in state government. I mean, she doesn't need this. And yet she's had
personal threats. Threats to her safety.
Yes.
Like no one else.
Like no one else. And it's remarkable that she is determined to stay in place because the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the commissioners, are the people that make those choices, and they've chosen to keep her. And as they should, because she knows much more about how to administer elections. She's been in that job in one capacity or another since 2011. She's been running elections in Wisconsin She's very, very knowledgeable. And by the way, all of those Republican senators that voted to get rid of her, they all voted for her to be administrator a few years ago. The only thing that's changed is that, you know, there's more crazies in the party who want to get rid of her. And it's just, it's shameful.
Yeah, I wanted to touch base here in our last few minutes here with Jay Heck of Common Cause. Today, Senator Dan Knodel issued a press release. Well, I guess it's not a press release. It was a formal email. They are now looking for co-sponsorship of a bill that abolishes the Wisconsin Election Commission and puts elections under the control of the Secretary of State. How does Common Cause, I know that this is an issue that you've dealt with in the past. What's your view of this latest, I don't even know what to call it, but latest shuffle?
It's the latest abomination. This is another iteration of partisan Republicans trying to seize and maintain control of how elections are administered and how what the results of elections will be in Wisconsin. So, you know, they got rid of the Government Accountability Board in 2015 and put into place the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Right.
All of them voted for it. Now they want to get rid of the Wisconsin Elections Commission because they don't think they have sufficient control. power and control to exert their will. This should go down. The governor needs to veto it. We will fight against it with every ounce in our power to do so.
Thank you, Jay Heck of Common Cause. This is your Paul Revere Show. Jay, we'll have you back when we get some new news on the maps. We'll be right back.
Great, thank you. Happy holidays.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday from 7 to 8 at WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. For the rest of the show, I'm honored and privileged to have back Pastor Greg Lewis from Souls of the Polls and Anita Johnson, who wears many, many, many hats. She's on the Board of Citizen Action. She's been active with Souls to the Polls as well. She has served on the Advisory Committee to the Wisconsin Elections Commission on the Observer Rules. And folks, we just spent the last half hour talking to Jay Heck from Common Cause. And we're talking about the new maps and the Supreme Court. And I really thought it would be appropriate to have the two of you here talking about, you know, how do you see this from the African Americans' point of view? Where are we at, you know, and where are we headed? So fire away, whoever. Hello, Anita. Hello, Pastor Lewis. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, Anita, you're okay. So, what do you think? What the Supreme Court just had the oral argument on the new maps. What are you hoping for, and what are you thinking?
Well, I know that even if we get new maps, which I hope we do, it's not going to be a huge change right away. It will take a while for these maps to become effective. So I'm hoping that there will be some type of change.
So what are your concerns with this whole discussion of new maps and the timing of it?
You know, it's hard for me to talk about those maps. We have been done so dirty by the way they have drawn those maps, it's hard to have hope that those maps will be ready for any election. I'm so disgusted with the way that those maps were drawn, because, you know, our people are not, our votes are not getting counted like we, like they should be when we go to the polls to vote. So even if they change the maps again, it won't be a big effect on the election, but it might make minor changes. That's all I can say right now about it.
So Pastor Lewis, you know, what do you hear in the community, and what is sort of your outlook on this whole discussion of the new maps?
You know, I just don't think people really, really care. You know, they're so sick of politics. They don't really care, especially about something so, how can I put it, meticulous as drawing new maps. You know, people don't even have an inkling of what that means in most cases. I'm not just talking about in my community either. You know, people don't know that the maps were drawn so that one party could stay in power perpetually. And they don't understand these maps. And even folks who follow maps and fair maps really don't understand what's going on here. I asked the question the other day. I said, well, if they draw new maps, who's going to be in on drawing them? Because the density and the population and communities in urban areas is so much higher than, and so much higher than the areas in these where they're rural, the fair representation just, it wouldn't even be, I don't think, adjusted, because most of the people, you know, who live in Wisconsin, or a lot of the people who live in Wisconsin, live in urban areas, and others live in these rural areas. And if you draw maps, if there was a fair representation, you know, we'd have a lot more representation in these communities of color. So I don't know what all this is going to mean, but I do know that you can't continue to just leave all this power in one party's hands who don't get the most votes. That just doesn't seem fair at all. This is a democracy, and we're leaving all the power in one party's hands, and they don't even get the most votes. And people don't understand, and frankly, I don't really think anybody is really, you know, considering the ramifications of really having these maps that are drawn in a way that people can just continuously keep power, even though they don't have the votes, the most votes. Let me put it to you like that.
I have to agree with Reverend Lewis. You know, most voters don't even know anything about these maps and what they represent. They're just clueless to the whole thing. So, you know, even when I talk to people, I try not to talk about the maps too much, because that would discourage a lot of these voters from going to the polls, because the first thing they're going to say is, well, my vote is not going to count if this is the way they drew the maps. So we have to be careful what we tell the public when we're out there, because we want people to vote. And we have a very important election next year. And if we don't get people to the polls, I'm telling you, it's going to be a sad commentary.
You know, I think that's a really, the two of you make a really, really important point. And the fact that the maps have been so gerrymandered for so long, where one party completely dominates, happens to be the new right-wing Republican Party, that actually, you know, attacked Milwaukee and the African-American community and continues by attacking diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, attacking the University of Wisconsin system on the same basis. And, you know, I think, you know, part of what you're saying is so important. Part of the gerrymander is to discourage people from ever having hope. And, you know, I think, Anita, you really, really said it. next year, you said, is a very, very important election. How do you see it being so important? And how do we go about going out there talking about these issues in a way that encourages people rather than discourages them?
Well, you know what, Mark? I have already been out, as well as Greg, this year, encouraging people and talking to them about the importance of voting. And what we're finding is there is a group of young people who are very discouraged about voting. And you know, I work on a nonpartisan basis, so it's hard to say that, you know, you should vote for the Democrat or the Republican, but the ideal is to get them out to vote. And people are discouraged with the two candidates that are running. And I would say from the ages of 30 to 45 or 28 to 45, these people are talking about not voting. So we have to find a common denominator to talk to them about, to say, well, these things might be taken away from us if you don't go and vote. And I have even said to these people, do you know that your right to vote can be taken away? So these are some of the things that I'm finding out already. It's not the senior citizens who are not talking about voting. It's the young community who are not talking, who are talking about not voting. So I'm trying to find something to talk to them about, to encourage them to get to the polls to vote. This has not been easy because we've been doing it all year. Right now, before this month, people were not interested in voting at all. So, you know, we're trying to rev everybody up and get them excited about voting.
Go ahead, Pastor Lewis.
Now, you know, I just have to agree that, you know, especially young people, they're kind of sick of the politics and the way we have been running, you know, our politics, our city, our state, our country. And it's just not something that we can overlook, because you have to have these young people involved, because they're going to be key. And if they're not voting, you know, we don't, there's not a snowball's chance that, you know, where that, you know, you're going to have young folks excited about this election. It's just not, but you always have to work towards it, because people always have to understand the most powerful vehicle we have in this country is elections and the vote. See, and people just don't understand that. People don't understand the real raw power of the vote, and especially young people, because most young people have been given what they've gotten. Everybody didn't have to fight for what they get. In our community, we used to have to fight for what we got. We had to fight to get the vote. We had to fight for housing. We had to fight for jobs. And we're still fighting for all of those things. And young people don't understand that those are rights that we have to have all these things. And they should be availed to us, but they're not. See, because they've grown up in a time where everything has been given to them, and they didn't see the struggle. And now we have a struggle. And here's the other thing too, you know, and I always say this, you know, we have our white brothers and sisters who, you know, are willing to vote against their own self-interest. See, that just doesn't make sense to these young folks. Why would you vote against your own self-interest? Why would you vote against something that's going to go against what you need, what you want, what you have to have? Why would you do that? And then it comes up, the bigotry, the hate, the racism. It just shows its ugly face in these situations. And that's another huge turnoff for sensible voters. It really is. This scorched earth politics, they'll burn up everything. They'll destroy everything just to keep power. That's a turnoff for rational, reasonable, common sense people.
You know, you've laid out some, you know, very, very To me, like, you know, profound observations of where folks are at, particularly, you know, in the city of Milwaukee. And, you know, what are some of the steps that you think we can take to, you know, turn things around and address it? You know, because I agree with Anita, 2024 is a very, very important election. I'm hopeful that the new maps, at least, you know, if we get them in time, they will break up this one party complete control where we can have more discussion statewide. In the interim, what steps can we take?
We have to keep trying to build power. See, there's a difference between building power and running elections. See, we have to continue to build power. We have to continue to show how people working together can get things done. And that, and you do that like one step at a time. You have to keep building these organizational partnerships. You have to keep making sure that people understand that you're just not in these fights just in election time. You gotta help people understand that we're not just concerned about voting. We're concerned about having folks do what needs to be done to get what they need to live and survive, building power, working together, doing that.
Folks.
We also
attorney, well, Anita, hold on one second. Anita Johnson, Pastor Greg Lewis will be right back with me on the other side to talk more about building power, moving Wisconsin forward. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We'll be right back with more. Hello again, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am so honored to have with me tonight Anita Johnson and Reverend Greg Lewis out of Milwaukee. And we are talking about the importance of the right to vote and how to build relationships and build power for people. And, you know, that. How do we do that in a state that has been so gerrymandered? We just had one party control. And before the break, Anita, you were going to jump in and talk about some thoughts on this topic.
Yeah, and this can happen all over Wisconsin. Once we convince a family member that they need to vote, this family member needs to talk to their family. Each individual person in your family, you need to talk to. You need to talk to the people that you work with. You need to encourage people that you go to the church with. You need to encourage people you bowl with or you go to the Y with. You have to encourage your family and your friends that of the importance of voting. Also, I feel that when there are changes, the legislator needs to be a little more transparent to the public about these changes. People should not go to the polls to vote and find out there's a change that they were not even aware of. For instance, we cannot do early vote at Midtown anymore. That site has been changed. There was a couple of articles in the paper, Souls to the Post partner with their partners, and we had press conferences about this to let people know what was happening. But there hasn't been anything else really to the public to let them know that Midtown is not a place that you can go and vote or do early vote in February. So, we need to be more transparent to the public so they understand these changes before the election, not the day of election.
So I think your point is one that, you know, a lot of folks listening may not have the, you know, that have the same problems. So Midtown was a very, very important place where many, many African Americans were used to voting. What, Anita and Reverend Lewis, as you're sitting here now, where is going to be the next location? And what is it that, you know, because certainly we can start talking to Milwaukee County, City of Milwaukee elected officials on what they need to do to make sure that everybody knows. And, you know, we're not waiting until, you know, the day before the election.
Right. This is December. The site has been changed to 60th and Capitol. It's an old Northwestern bank. I was just talking to one of the commissioners today, and I said to him, what is the election commission going to do in letting the public know where you can vote, do early voting, since we're not going to Midtown? Personally, I think they should just drop the term of Midtown, have a new name for the new location, so people are not confused when it's time to do early vote. That's what I feel personally. If you keep saying Midtown, even though that is the area, Midtown, we need to know exactly where we go for early vote. I know that we're going to have people out at Midtown to say, you don't vote here anymore. Go across the street to 60th and Capitol. But I just feel that this news is coming a bit late, and yeah, it should have been.
So it's late, and now we're coming up to the holidays and New Year's, and right? I mean, people are going to.
Yeah, we got a primary February 20th.
Right. And so as a practical matter, what you're saying is, what are we going to do early in January to make it loud and clear where people need to vote? And talking to people, is there a new brand name that works for you, Anita? Because 60th and Capitol doesn't excite anybody, right?
Right. The voting center, I really don't have a name. I don't have a name, but so
let's put it out there. Hey folks, let's come up with the brand name. And so, you know, come January 1st, we're all headed there. I think that's crucial. It's crucial. How do you see this playing out, Reverend Lewis?
Well, you know, it's just another piece of what we call suppression, discouragement for, you know, people of color to, you know, throw up their hands and say, you know, it don't really matter. I mean, that's all it is. But that can't stop you. You know, you still have to do your part. You have to do your civic duty. You have to make the decisions that would often be made by folks who vote. You know, you still have to be in that number. You have to, or else things just won't happen for you. You know, I always say we just have to stop letting things happen to us. We got to make things happen for us. You know, that's what's got to happen. I mean, you could be so, you know, you could be upset all you want, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You know, nobody really cares. So, you know, we have to be adult and focused, and you can't, you know, in these days and time, you can't depend on instant. Instant results. There's going to be work to do to get things done.
So we now have right, a mayor, African-American mayor, right? Chevy. We have an African-American executive, county exec, David Crowley. Have they been more responsive than previous? And are they stepping up to the plate to make sure that we get 60th and Capitol straightened out? We got 10 seconds. One of you have shouted out.
Yeah, they've been very, very helpful.
As well as the aldermen in that district.
Yeah.
So, okay. Folks, This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Thank you so much, Anita Johnson. Thank you so much, Reverend Greg Lewis. We'll be back after New Year's with you, and we'll find out whether we've got a brand for that new voting center and whether we've made progress. Folks, it is so glad to have you. Thank you so much. Keep moving Wisconsin forward. We got to do it, folks. We got to do it. Thank you all. Amen. Good night. All right.